The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I am so excited to have y'all back. But let me tell you, I'm even more excited to have our guest on today. He is the owner of HBSB Holdings, Scott Bauer. Scott, thank you for joining us today. How are you, sir?
Cody, thanks for having me, man. I'm doing great today. Doing really well.
Man, I appreciate that. I love the energy and I really appreciate you making time. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. You're incredibly busy with everything y'all are working on. But for those that are maybe hearing your name and your voice for the first time, hopefully not, but if they are, would love to get a little bit of background about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you kind of find yourself in these days.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, it's a long story. My name is Scott Bauer. I am the owner of HBSB Holdings. I also am the host of the Invest This podcast. For those of you out here that haven't listened to that, hopefully some of you have. I'm sure you have. Those that haven't, please check it out. We're going to actually be relaunching that podcast going into January of 2022. So that's super exciting. I'm pumped. We're going to come in with a lot of energy, a lot of really good stuff. I have been in the real estate game since about 2011, end of 2000 or in 2012 is when I got started. Started as an agent, as most people start, residential agent, and did that for about a year and hated every minute of it. You know, I was very good at doing it. Did 2.2 million in gross sales my first year as a retail agent, which sounds great, but let me tell you, it's really not at all. I didn't make any money, hardly at all. And for whatever reason, Keller Williams, which is the broker at the time, seemed to think I was crushing it, which I questioned at that point. But from there, you know, learned about multifamily investing. Actually, I hired a multifamily coach, Mr. Dave Lindahl, to teach me how to buy apartment buildings using with other people and sharing the profits. And that actually morphed into introduced me to a guy that had a different idea, and that was in wholesaling single family houses. And so since I worked with that guy for about 6 months, him and I did 25 residential deals, wholesale deals back in 2013, kind of learned that the wholesale side of the business, and then started HBSB Holdings in 2014 and have just been crushing it ever since. Since then, we've done about 60 million in gross properties. I've done a little over 400 deals, and you know, we're just crushing away. So that's a little bit of the background. Hopefully that answers your question.
No, it's perfect. And I appreciate digging through. You know, I always say, I'm sure people are tired of hearing me say this, but you know, everyone brings a unique background, and I love hearing the story, kind of the origin story, right? I'm a little bit of a comic book nerd, so I love a good origin story and hearing where people come from, because we all have these unique backgrounds and different things that we bring to the real estate world when we do come over and make that jump. And for some of them, it's passive. For some of us, it's active. It just kind of depends. But the different dynamics of what we're able to do and expertise we bring is great. And hopefully it's good to hear for our audience, because they likely have a unique and different background. And I want them to be encouraged that it doesn't really matter where you come from, that you can get into real estate and be successful. I think it's more of a mindset and research thing as opposed to like a experience thing. You can always get experience. But Scott, I know, you know, we brought you on here to talk a little bit about something different than maybe before, which is, let's talk about bumps and bruises, maybe even failures that you've taken along the way that have helped get you to where you are today. And I know we were talking off camera a little bit about, both of us kind of had the mindset, it's not really a failure if you learn from it and leverage it as experience to learn from, but want to kind of dig back into your memories on some of the ones that you went through in your career that can help educate us.
You know, I think a really important part, especially for those that are just starting out or getting their feet wet and really getting involved or trying to get into the real estate space, is, you know, this thing, shiny object syndrome, really. Because the beautiful thing about the real estate space is that there are several avenues that you can go down, and each and every single one of them can be highly successful, make a lot of money, can build a lot of wealth. You can make a big impact. Doesn't matter which route you go. But the problem is that there are lots of there are lots of options. So especially early off in a career, it's very easy to get distracted, right? You get distracted. You see, oh, okay, here's, you know, let's say I'm going to start with being a retail agent, and then I'm going to move into, now I'm going to wholesale single family houses. But then I find out that, oh, I could actually buy mobile home parks, and that could be a passive income stream. Or, oh, I could go and be an apartment syndicator, and oh, I can be a passive investor there. You know, the problem is that you don't end up, you don't focus on any one. You try to dabble in each and every one of them, and you don't actually get really proficient, really good at one of them. And so that is one thing that I think every single successful entrepreneur in the real estate space has struggled with at one time or another, is that shiny object syndrome. So I know for me, that was kind of the case, right? I mean, I told you that I had started as a retail agent, didn't like that. So I went into the multifamily syndication space, and I didn't like that. And then I went into the wholesale single family space. And then I went back and tried to wholesale multifamily stuff for a little bit and found my way back to, you know, the single family wholesale space. And then, you know, getting into residential fix and flips and small multifamily fix and flips. I mean, I've done all of that at this point. And it's just, you know, what I found is that you have to find one that becomes like, that's your staple. That's the one that really pays your bills, allows you to put money in the bank account to then further invest in the future investments. I mean, that's probably one of my, you know, big takeaways, is to pick one and stick with it.
Well, and it's interesting you say that. I mean, you were talking about when you were joined as a real estate agent, you were actually labeled as very successful. And I think a lot of people that are probably listening would argue the same here in some of the numbers, but you still had this shiny object syndrome of going and chasing something else, which is interesting, because I think what we've heard from either listeners or guests is that they chase shiny objects, not because they were successful and wanted to do other things and try other avenues, was they weren't as successful as fast as they wanted to be. So they went to go pursue other things to see other people were doing them really well. So it's like, well, mine isn't working out. Let me jump to this other thing. You know, Scott's doing really well over here. Let me just go follow what he's doing and I'll figure that out. But I don't, to your point, I don't think everyone gives, if they're doing that, they don't give enough due diligence and credit and time to build that repertoire of knowledge of what it takes to be successful at that aspect of real estate.
You know, it's interesting. It's a concept that I've thought a lot about and see it happening all over the place. And this is, I think, a lot to do with technology and how fast technology has allowed us to evolve and to you know, everything is I want it done instantly today. You know, I want whatever I want. You know, I can get on Amazon and today it can be at my doorstep. You know, if I have a service need of some sort, I want that service done today. Why? Because all of the different social medias and all of the different technology that surrounds us all the time is always revolved around time. I want it right now, right this second. So a lot of people, they get started in one aspect of the real estate space, right? And then, you know, they hit a tough spot. Oh, this isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. So I'm going to try and look and see what else is out there that I can, you know, perceive to be an easier route to go. But it doesn't matter whether you're wholesaling houses, whether you're apartment syndicating, whether you're commercial syndicating, doesn't matter what avenue you're going down, it all is going to take work and it's all going to be tough. And really, they're all, you know, they all have to be looked at as a business. You know, the business, it doesn't matter what the product is, the business should kind of always be the same. The P&L, you know, understanding your financials, understanding how marketing works, understanding how customer experience works, understanding how to manage people. All of these things is what really comes down to building a successful business, not necessarily what the product is that you're doing.
Well, and that's a good point, because I think a lot of us love the idea of being an entrepreneur. And we like the freedom it gives us from a time standpoint, the potential freedom on the financial side of being successful as an entrepreneur. There's a lot of benefits, but I think it's challenging for those that are jumping into entrepreneurship that have never run a business, because it is, real estate is a business. It is very heavy on the people aspect, but it is a business. And for those that don't treat it as such, I think, for lack of a better term, get burned in some manner, because they're not looking at the P&Ls. They're not looking at marketing and how to manage all these different aspects of the business. And so much of what we do is a mindset. You mentioned like social media and the expediting of information and goods and services. I look at it as you have to have a very good mindset and understand what you're wanting to achieve and how long it's going to take you to get there, because all we see on social media right now are the positive things.
Right.
Right. You know, Scott's closing this, you know, Brian's closing this, you know, Susan's doing this. And all we see is that we're underwriting deals and losing stuff all day long because, you know, and we're seeing all these other people. But what we don't know is they're also underwriting 30 to 70 deals and they're just happen to get the one. We don't see the struggles and the pains that they go through. All we see is the positivity and the net positive on the back end, but not the grind.
Yeah. And I mean, the grind is real. The grind is never ending. You know, it doesn't matter how the more successful you get, the more that the grind still has to continue, because now as you expand and you own more properties or you buy more stuff, you have more investors that you bring into your world. You have more properties and property types to deal with. You have more employees to deal with. And in order for you to grow, you must have that. You know, that's really another learning curve or learning point that I wanted to bring to the table is not waiting to hire people to help you achieve your goal or achieve your dream. That's certainly one thing that I did. I thought that I was going to just do this all myself and I have a small little operation. I could do it all forever. Well, you can, but it's, you know, life is not as fun. You know, it's not as, and it's not as rewarding. You can't go as far. It's not self-fulfilling. It really isn't. And I thought it was.
Right. Well, and it's interesting you bring that up. And I was listening to Tom Wheelwright's podcast yesterday, and they were talking a little, they got into this little bit of the subject, and him and his guest mentioned that the most expensive phrase in business is "I'll do that myself." It is the most expensive phrase that you can utter. And to your point, you can get someplace so much faster by not only hiring people, but hiring the right people and outsourcing the stuff that you're not good at or could somebody else could do better and faster. And you can scale to whatever it is you are looking for exponentially compared to what you doing it by yourself is. Do you have something maybe from your past and when you got started that kind of clicks in your mind thinking about that, where you wish you would have outsourced some of that stuff or brought somebody in to help?
Yeah. I mean, I think it starts from the very beginning. You know, another piece of my success is the people I surround myself with. So I have always, since the very beginning, the day that I started my company, I hired a coach. I hired a coach who was in the real estate space that I was wanting to be, somebody who I perceived to be successful and who I thought was going to be, you know, a good addition, and it turned out to be to my business. And I hired a coach, you know, and I joined masterminds, you know, constantly surrounding myself with people that are better than me, stronger than me, or been around longer than I have, you know, have gone further than I've gone, to be able to look and see, okay, what are they doing that I'm not doing that can help me get to where they're at or above or surpass them, right? From the very beginning, the mastermind groups are always like, oh, you gotta hire people. You gotta hire acquisitions people. You gotta hire dispositions people. You gotta hire admin people. You gotta hire all these people. But of course, when you're first starting out, if you're not making a lot of money, you're like, how the hell am I gonna pay for all these people? Right? But and there's a fine line when you know you go from not being able to afford anybody to now you can afford somebody, and you can't outsource everything. In any business, you know, a CEO or, you know, a CEO's job is to bring in revenue to the business, right? Revenue is what drives everything else. Doesn't matter what business you're in. If it doesn't generate revenue, it's not going to be in business for very long. So, you know, the goal of a CEO or the goal of somebody who is trying to run an operation is, okay, how can I bring in the most profit or the most revenue to the company? And how do I outsource everything else? Now, that doesn't mean that the person who's running the company necessarily has to be the one that's bringing in the revenue, but they have to have a plan in place on how that's going to happen. What are the salespeople? What are the number of salespeople that I'm going to hire? What are their expected revenues per person that's going to be brought in? And, you know, based on the 80-20 rule, like not everybody's going to be equal, right? So you just have to have a plan in place. Hopefully that answers the question.
No, yeah, I think that's great. And I think, I know we're getting ready to run up on time here. So there have been a ton of nuggets that you've shared, and I appreciate it, because I think for those that may be looking to jump into real estate or even have jumped in, but they find themselves struggling, it's one of those things that you need to listen to what Scott's saying and hear and think about what your approach is. And are there things in place that are preventing you or that you perceive are preventing you from getting to where you want? And how do you overcome that? Is that outsourcing some of it? Is it having the right mindset? Any of those things. So Scott, I can't thank you enough for jumping on. The folks that maybe want to work with you, learn from you, connect with you in some way, would love to know the best place we can send folks to connect with you.
Well, I mean, to start off, of course, I'm on all the social media platforms you can think of. Look me up, Scott Bauer. You can also look up HBSB Holdings. We're going to be on there as well. But, you know, one of the most important places where you can learn from me and learn how to get connected to me is check out my podcast, the Invest This Podcast. You know, we're on all the major platforms. You can listen to podcasts everywhere from Spotify to Apple Music and all the stuff. We got a lot of episodes there with a lot of good information that you can check out for free, right? The beautiful thing about podcasts, they're free. Amazing. But happy to help anybody. You know, I've been very blessed to create the life I've been able to create for myself and for the people around me. And happy to shed that light on anybody that's trying to do the same thing.
Man, I love it. That's what one of my favorite things about this community is. It while we tend to compete, it's maybe once or twice that we're doing it, but it's such a great and helpful community to help each other grow, because rising tide raises all boats. Well, hey, Scott, thank you so much. For those listening, go check out his podcast. I highly recommend it. We look forward to the upcoming kind of rebranding and relaunch of the show. I can't thank you enough for making some time and coming on and sharing your experience, Scott. Thanks so much, sir.
Thanks, Ben. Talk to you.
Absolutely. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.